The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Fill her up.
You're listening to the Gas Digital Network.
Conceive, believe, achieve. Shut the f*** up.
You're listening to Believe You Me with Michael the Count Bisbing.
You know my name yet?
And Anthony Lionheart Smith.
How are you, mate? You good?
I'm good, man. How are you? Long travel back?
Very, very long. Yeah. Well, I mean, what is it? 11 hours, not too bad, but it feels... I don't know, on the road nonstop, but still, what a great event. UFC 286 in the bag, and still Leon Edwards coming out there and defending that belt in absolute style. Absolute style. Go on.
Yeah, dude, that's not at all what I expected. I thought Usman was going to wrestle more. I thought he would get more takedowns. I thought Leon had a fantastic game plan. I did feel that Kamar was a little bit gun shy. I don't know what it looked like in person. Obviously, you were right there, so you had a much better view than the rest of us. But he seemed a bit gun shy. He was biting on all the kicks. And again, I hope if Kamar sees this, he doesn't look at it as I'm kicking while he's down or whatever. I'm just talking about the fight. And it
pardon the pun.
He hasn't adjusted to the issues that gave him problems in the first fight. As far as the kicking game, he was still reaching for kicks. He was biting on every single one of those kicks. And I thought Leon did a great job going to the body. I thought it was a magical performance, to be honest. And honestly, Kamara looked pretty good himself. So it wasn't like Kamara was way off and Leon, you know, had a good day. I thought he was just the better fighter all the way around.
Well, you know, you got to be careful because otherwise Justin Gaethje is going to come and get you. And we will get into that in just a little bit. We will talk about that. However, I just thought, Leon, listen, I'm a huge fan of Kamaru. I love the way he carries himself as a person, as a fighter. I'm a fan of him. And believe it or not, I actually know Kamaru better than I do Leon. Just because we're from the UK doesn't mean we're best buddies. You know, even though we are friendly, you know what I mean? We're very friendly, and I think he's great, and I have a ton of respect. But I was surprised to see Leon really grew into being a champion, and he was brimming with confidence. And obviously confidence is a good thing, but it can be a double-edged sword, as we know. Too much, it's arrogance. Too little, you might not perform. And he was just brimming and oozing with confidence. And Teddy Atlas even came out Saturday night and had that tweet and said, "Champ, when somebody becomes champion, they immediately become 30% better," or something along those lines. And I kind of get what he says, because then it's validation. You believe in yourself. You know what you've done to get to this point was all the correct stuff, and you're here for a reason. And when you knock somebody out like Kamaru, that gives you faith in your knockout power, that if you just let it go, that you can get the job done. He went out there, and for the most part, he controlled the majority of that fight. He picked away at him with kicks. I thought what he was trying to do by setting up the head kick was just continually going to the body. And when the arms were going to come down, then go upstairs to the head. Because, of course, as we know, that's the oldest trick in the book. But in rounds 4 and 5, the forearms were completely coming down to block the kicks. And I thought, oh, my God, here we go. He's going to get him again in round 5. Don't get me wrong. Kamaru had some moments. Of course he did. But for the most part, and I've said that a few times now, but generally, he couldn't take Leon down. If he did get him down, and from my recollection, I mean, I haven't watched the fight back yet. I just got off a plane, but he didn't hold him down. There was once or twice, but he didn't hold him down for anything too significant. Certainly didn't really do any damage. Yeah, he landed a few shots on the feet. When he landed those shots, that's when he was able to take him down. But the takedown defense was fantastic. It's not like Leon beat him from pillar to post and kicked the crap out of him. They were close rounds. They were very close rounds. Certainly the point deduction because of the fence grab. Was that round 3? I think it was 3 or 4. 4, I think, right?
I think it was 3.
3, was 3, 3 or 4.
3 or 4, yeah. I don't remember. Yeah, I haven't watched it back either.
Yeah, 3 or 4, it doesn't matter. That was huge. you know? And I thought with that, I was worried that we might see a draw because it wasn't like Kamara got outclassed. Mm-mm. But he was just beaten Saturday just a night tad by behind. A guy that was a little ahead, yeah.
Yeah. He just seemed a little bit behind. He didn't have, like, you talked about Leon having this confidence oozing out of him and just he was so sure of himself when he was in there. Typically that's how Kamaru Usman is he's got that confidence that, you know, even if someone's getting the better of a couple exchanges, you know, even in the first Leon fight, Leon takes him down in the first round, takes his back and controls him for the entire round. He got up with the same confidence that he started with, walked back to the corner, kind of had a little smirk on his face, like, oh, okay, you got me. But he didn't seem to be lost of any confidence after that. I didn't see that same confidence Saturday night. And I'm not saying he didn't believe in himself. He seemed a little bit unsure and a little bit tentative. He was a little bit hesitant. But, you know, taking a big shot off a guy that being in front of a guy that you know can knock you out because he's done it once before. He just reacted to everything coming from the left side, lower body of Leon Edwards. And then Leon did a fantastic job of just building off of that. It was just, Kamaru said it himself. It was a fantastic game plan. And he executed it perfectly. And he was even hurt at one point in the fight. Kamaru landed a couple good shots and had him, you know, had him shoot for takedowns for a second.
Oh, for sure. Listen, as I said, he wasn't whitewashed. He wasn't dominated. Right. He wasn't outclassed. But he was beaten. He lost the fight, in my humble opinion, you know, and the opinion of generally, I would say, everybody. You know, of course, Kamaru feels like he won the fight on the microphone, you know, but you feel like that. I'm sure the masses do. I haven't seen a big outcry. I haven't seen a lot of people saying it was nonsense. I think Leon should be very, very proud of himself. I think Kamaru should be extremely proud of himself. I mean, not that I'm setting him off sail on his career, but what a career he's had. You know, at one point he was a pound for pound number one. He defended about five times. That's insane in and of itself. And who knows? Maybe he comes back and he becomes champion again, right? Maybe. Maybe not. Okay, that's fair enough. But if he doesn't, and if he was never fight again, what a legendary career. And he will always be remembered. So certainly no shame or kicking a man while he's down or anything like that. Big question is what's next for Leon Edwards? Because as you know, Colby was there. And I'll give you a quick, funny story. So, obviously, the fight's local time didn't finish till about 2:30 a.m. Then I had to do a BT Sport post-fight show. Then I had to get back to the hotel. So, by the time I got back to the hotel, it was about 3:30, something like that. And they have a bar upstairs that stays open till about 5:30. So, my dad was there. We had a couple of drinks. Nothing crazy. I was only there for an hour and a half. Couple of drinks, you know, catch up with my old man, see some of the guys, chat to some the UFC people and whatnot. And then it's like 5:30 and my ride to the airport was at 8. And I was like, if I go to sleep now, I'm going to miss that for sure. So I sat in my room, twiddling my thumbs, waited till 8:00. Now I'm like a zombie, like an absolute zombie. I get to the airport, record time. Normally it takes about an hour. It took like 30 minutes this time, no traffic whatsoever. My flight's delayed. So I'm hanging around the airport for 4 hours after all night. Oh, God, it was a nightmare. And I'm standing there, and all of a sudden, someone dives on me from behind. And I jump, because I'm a nervous son of a bitch. I jump out of my skin, and I'm terrified. And I look around. It's Colby Covington. The son of a bitch. He's like, oh, what's up, Mike? And he's there with his team. So we were having a quick catch up. You know what? Colby's a solid dude, man. Honestly, he was so respectful and all things like that. But at the post-fight show, Leon was saying that there's other people ahead of Colby Covington. And I understand why he would say that. And I understand why he probably wants to get his hands on Jorge Masvidal, if he beats Gilbert Burns. But what do you think of this whole situation, Anthony?
Man, The division's kind of funny right now. So it's, you know, Gilbert's definitely going to need a win, you know, probably one more win before he's ready, before you could put him in the title picture. I think Gilbert Burns, you put that dude in there with anybody, he can beat anybody in any given day. But as far as the politic goes, he's not a huge, huge draw. And I like Gilbert a lot, but the Masvidal fight, there's absolutely a storyline there. But we got to remember that Leon's talking with his wallet too. When it comes down to it, you want the easiest fight for the most money. He's got bad blood. He wants to get one back on Masvidal. Masvidal probably does bigger numbers than probably anybody else in the division. He's the biggest draw.
I don't know about Colby. We'll get to that in a second.
That's a close one, but we know for a fact that Masvidal does big pay-per-view numbers for sure. It's an easier fight than Colby. He's a striker. excuse me. He's a striker, which really works into Leon's game. I think better. You know what I mean? Leon's had to train back-to-back training camps for a national champion, you know, wrestler who's made his money taking people down and having that threat. So those kind of, if you're not a wrestler, those training camps suck. You constantly got people diving on your legs. You're constantly defending takedowns. It's exhausting. It beats your body up. It's just hard. So I would think in terms of money, stylistic matchup, ease of the fight, is just which one's going to be harder. Of course he's going to say Masvidal. Absolutely.
Yeah.
And
without question,
Masvidal is the easier fight. I'm not saying it's an easy fight. You know, I think that Leon's style makes it works into Masvidal's game. Like Masvidal is going to have a better chance with a guy like Leon than he is with a guy like Colby. That's just how it is. So, you know, I understand it from Leon's point of view. I absolutely do. As far as, you know, Dana kind of giving Colby the green light, that one was a little bit shocking to me. But I get it.
Was it?
I do.
What was it though? Because if you think about it, right? I mean, look, listen, I understand every point you just said, I agree with. And of course, certainly more from the standpoint of A, the wallet, right? Mm-hmm. The biggest fight you want now as a champion is the one. So the biggest financial purse, that's the one you want, okay? Because you it doesn't last forever. As a champion, it doesn't last forever. You might go 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. You might be Anderson Silva. You know what I mean? Or you might get 1, 2, 3. You might get 1 or 2. You know, so you want to maximize that opportunity. I think Colby would sell. Colby's a big star. Colby hypes a fight big time. But I understand with the footage of Masvidal coming up and the three-piece off the shoulder and all the rest of it, there's that. And then, of course, not having to prepare for a wrestler. You know what I mean? Because it sucks, okay? So then Leon can get creative and he can have a kickboxing match with Masvidal, essentially. And that would be a fun fight. But on the flip side, though, Colby Covington did fly all the way up, like yourself, went and was a backup fighter, made weight. I'm glad you said
weight.
It. Made weight. I wasn't going to say it.
I'll say it. I'll dig on
yeah,
myself.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, but you know what I mean? Let's be honest, he did.
Yeah.
And I guarantee that but it wouldn't surprise me if part of the carrot that they dangled to get Colby to do that was, look, listen, even if it doesn't go ahead, we'll give you the next title fight. Now, of course, Leon gets to say, because he's the champion, you can't force him to fight anybody, but it is also kind of Dane as the president of the company as well. Yeah, do you know what I mean? He gets to say. So, listen, regardless, the good thing is Leon's got options. He's got options. Kamaru, and again, I want to be so respectful because I have so much respect. You know, he was definitely motivated. He was talking about how disrespectful Liam was being, and that the word he kept mentioning was violence. He wanted to get get violent with this man. He felt that he discredited him and all the rest. So he had a tremendous amount of motivation. And I think Kamaru looked a little slow, looked a little flat. You know, it certainly wasn't the best performance. And I think he'd agree with that. So yeah, I don't know if we'll ever see Kamaru as a champion again. Let's say that. Let's put it like that.
You know,
he's 36 and his knees are shot.
That's where I was going with this. I don't know how much of the general public understands, or, and I don't want to like kind of put his business out there, but kind of everyone as fighters knows. We all know that Kamaru is I'm trying to think of a respectful way of saying this. He's been holding that belt much less than 100%. He can't run. His knees are shot. You can see in the way that he walks sometimes that he's had years of combat sports. It's years and years and years of wrestling, and he was a really physical, aggressive, athletic wrestler. He wasn't the super smooth guy that was, you know, stayed out of the fire. He was in the fire. Then a long fight career, lots of title fights. Like, you know, that's 6 or 7 world title fights. You know what I mean? Like, that's a lot. When he won it, the 5 defenses, and then this one. So like. Or so, yeah, it's just a lot. And so he's not young. he's not old, but he's got a lot of miles. And so he's been through a lot of shit. And it did look like it just, you're right. He looked a little bit slow. He was a little bit behind. It seemed like his mind was there. He was seeing everything. He just wasn't reacting quite as quickly, a little bit flat. Maybe with some of the travel, maybe he had a bad weight cut, or maybe it's just, you know, Father Time's just slowly catching up with him.
Yeah. Yeah. And as I say, I've got to be respectful. I have nothing but respect for Kamaru Usman, the way he carries 100%. Himself as a man, the career that he's had. Every time I've had an interaction, he is the epitome of class. He really is. Never once. I could not dream of saying a bad word about Kamaru. You know what I mean? He's such a solid dude. He really is. He's such a respectful human being. He is. I saw a video though last week, and it was Jamahal Hill. It was just like a little short or like a 2-minute YouTube video. It was Jamahal Hill on the Rogan podcast, and they were talking about Kamaru's knees, and it'd been edited together, you know, like a, it wasn't Rogan's podcast YouTube channel, but it was talking about the problems. Joe was talking about Kamaru to Jamahal. And obviously this is things that Kamaru's told Joe. And he was talking about how he can't walk, he can't run, he has to go down the stairs backwards because of his knees. And he was also saying that if he's walking along a sidewalk, a pavement in the UK, and there's grass close by, he walks on the grass because the impact of walking on concrete or a pavement is too painful. You know what I mean? And again, it all goes into all the years on the clock. And by the way, I am not taking away from Leon's performance. Leon was sensational. We're just talking about how, you know, maybe, as you put it, and it is often put, Father Time now is catching up with Kamaru. And he said, because I asked him, I did an interview for BT Sport. I said, you know, some people saying that you're thinking about retirement. Are you talking about retirement? My hair's retiring. My hair gel is retiring. Jesus Christ. I'm still sweating. I just did a quick run. That's why I was like, can we push it back by 15 minutes, Anthony? And you said, well, I'm like, crap, I'm going to have to sprint like a maniac. So I'm sweating. No, and he said, listen, of course, I think about retirement. Do you think I want to do this for the rest of my life? Do you think I want to go through these training camps and get my face punched in? The physical suffering you have to, not only in the fight, but in the camp. Of course. He said, but I'm not there yet. So again, you got to respect that. Should we move on?
I don't know. Harrington, I think, just put in the chat though that Leon Edwards must be recent, but he said that if he's presented with a contract with Colby Covington's name on it, he will not sign it.
Herring Boney, come on and show me what was said. Was it on the Helwani show?
Yeah, he went on Helwani this morning. He said that Colby does not deserve the title shot. He's been sitting out for a year and a half, and he has say in it because he's the champion. He said if he was presented with a Colby Covington contract, he would not sign it.
Interesting. Well, we'll see how that plays out because obviously he does have a right. Of course he does. And I'm not going to about to wade in and give my opinion on the negotiations between the champion and the UFC, you know, but Dana can be very persuasive. You know what I mean?
Today. That's what he says today.
Yeah. The check's big enough. You know?
That could change.
And if the money's right and all the rest of it, that makes a lot of things happen. But either way, one more time, congratulations to Leon Rocky Edwards. Because you know, there's a man that's certainly done it the hard way. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Didn't get any favors. He's on, 12 fights in a row now? Just sensational. Absolutely sensational. And, you know, judging by that performance, I can see him going on quite the run, defending against many, many people. So who knows? Maybe we have another long-term champion on our hands. All right, breaking news. Manscaped is now selling beard products, but we've talked about this for a while. They have gone from the waist to your face to help you replace the bulky razor with a brand new Beard Hedger Pro Kit. They have the best tools for you to turn heads with a clean, perfectly groomed and conditioned beard. Listen, this kit will change your life. The Beard Hedger Pro Kit has made it easier than ever to craft a signature look. It all starts with the Beard Hedger, the juggernaut of fixing faces. First off, it's waterproof. It is a cordless trimmer. It has a rotary wheel that gives you over 20 different lengths. So there's no more having attachments and add-ons all over your bathroom drawers, okay? It is titanium-coated T-blade that is tough on hair but smooth on the face, leading to single-stroke efficiency that brings satisfaction one stroke at a time. And let me tell you, the battery's fantastic. I've had mine now for 2 months. I've never charged it. Not because I'm trying to see how long it takes, just because I'm useless. I just haven't plugged it in yet. But every time I go and use it, I'm like, this is going to be dead. But no, it still works. Plus, the Pro kit is more than just a trimmer. It comes with four dermatologist-tested formulations for your post-trim care. The beard shampoo and conditioner. All your hair is different, and your beard hair is specially designed to moisturize, reduce ingrown hairs, and replenish your natural oils, promoting beard health. Next, the Manscaped's beard oil, the nutrient-infused oil, relieves dryness both on the beard and the skin beneath. And then you cap it off with the Beard Balm, a pomade that shapes, styles, and moisturizes, bringing the amazing scent of fresh eucalyptus, rosemary, and lavender essential oils. The Pro Beard Kit also comes with three free gifts, a beard brush, a comb, and scissors to ensure your beard is ready to impress. So get 20% off and free shipping when you use the code BISPING20 at manscaped.com. That is 20% off and free shipping at manscaped.com when you use the code BISPING20, the Manscaped Beard Hedge Pro Kit, the premier solution to face grooming. Co-main event, Justin Gaethje, Rafael Fiziev, because we've got lots of stuff to talk about. Co-main event, Justin Gaethje, Rafael Fiziev. Thoughts on that performance, please.
Man, I thought that Gaethje went in there and beat a better striker, you know, yep, on his feet. I think Fiziev was the more technical, faster, more diverse guy. But goddamn it, you know, ones and twos and a good jab and some footwork can do a hell of a good job for you if you time it right and you got a, you know, kind of a masterful guy like Trevor Whitman behind you. I think he made a great adjustment. I think Trevor told him to, you know, really get on his jab and really start sticking that jab. I thought the corner work was great. He made the adjustment and he took some hard shots, but he kept his feet moving. I was happy to see him get a takedown at the end of the third. I thought that was cool of him just to kind of solidify it. It shows me that he's thinking and evolving and, you know, that he's at least. There was a point in time where I wasn't sure that Justin Gaethje understood that we were judging these fights. Like, he just, you know, he's fighting for the finish to the very end, which I appreciate. It's why he's made $550,000 in bonus money. It's what we love. But, you know, sometimes you get down to that last minute in a close round, it might do you some good to start shooting some takedowns as an All-American wrestler and solidify a round, land a couple of shots to kill the judges something at the end of a round to get it. So I thought that was cool to see. Man, Fiziev was pretty goddamn good too.
Yeah, listen, Fiziev's unbelievable.
His chin? You know, fuck.
Dude, and the punishment that he took as well in that third round especially, his face was bust up. The speed of Gaethje, when he let go with those hands, some of those combinations were lightning fast. I thought Justin looked better than he ever has. You know, I think he... Mm-hmm. Probably lost the first round, a close 10-9. Yeah. Fiziev landed some better shots, just generally a bit busier. I thought the same in two, though, for Justin. He kind of took over with the tempo and the speed. And in round three, talking about an adjustment, those jabs, he went from throwing hooks and stuff to straight shots. The jabs were sensational. The uppercut that he found the mark on so many times. And as you say, I mean, Fiziev, in my opinion, before that fight, I might have said was the best standalone striker in the lightweight division. And Justin Gaethje beat him at his own game, essentially. I think it was one or two takedown attempts sprinkled in here and there, but generally it was a standard affair. And what a fight. Unbelievable. A little bit more tentative, or should I say strategic, for Justin Gaethje, which you have to be against a fighter of that caliber. Yeah.
You have to. And, you know, I thought it was impressive. I thought that if Justin, you know, at the beginning, I was like, well, okay, if he can get his leg kicks going and he can put some damage on those things early and compromise one of those legs, then maybe he can stand in there and really technically trade with him. Of course, I thought if he could catch him with something big, he could put him down and change the way the fight goes. But he wasn't ever able to really, really hurt Fiziev and change his approach. And he wasn't really able to get his leg kicks going and really batter Fiziev's legs very well. So I think that just credits Justin Gaethje's growth even more, that kind of one of his best weapons wasn't as effective as they have been in the past. And he still was able to just kind of break it down, listen to his coach, stick to the basics. And
it was a nice opening leg kick, though, that he hit him with, that running low kick. That was sick. What an opening nasty shot. Yeah.
So, I thought he looked great, man. I thought he leveled up. I thought I seen a lot of improvements. Defensively, I thought he was better too. You know, sometimes he tends to get a little bit wild in some of those exchanges, but he was a little more defensively responsible than he's been the last couple of fights. I thought he looked great. Not very happy with you, but I thought he looked fantastic.
Yeah. We'll get to that in just a second. I don't want to take away from his performance at all because I'm not going to do that. So he even said himself, he's only going to have a few more fights. In his mind, he said, hopefully one, he gets a title fight next, or maybe one, at most two. And then in a perfect world, defends the belt once or twice or whatever, and then walks away. So enjoy him while we can, ladies and gentlemen. What do you think happens next? Because... I mean, obviously, we had Islam Makhachev calling out Leon at the weekend. That ain't going to happen. You're going to fight someone in your own weight class. Of course, there's Conor. If Conor beats Chandler, don't be surprised if that's actually the one. It's probably going to be Colby, though, let's be honest. But for Justin, because there's talk of Beneil, Fazeev was saying that if he won, then he'd maybe deserve a title fight, although he would step aside for Beneil because Beneil deserves it. What do you think the UFC do? If you were the matchmaker, Anthony Smith, you're the matchmaker, you're Mick Maynard and Sean Shelby rolled into one, they'd have to be to meet your size. We'll throw in a Joel Silva as well. You are Joel Silva, Sean Shelby and Mick Maynard rolled into one, but because of the amalgamation and the weird body chemistry, you've lost your hair. What is the next fight that you give to, although the hair's growing back, what do you do with Justin?
Oh, I think you got him. People are going to start rioting if Beneil doesn't get a title shot with a win over Oliveira. People are going to riot. So I think if Beneil gets a win, I would think he would get the title shot. So that would leave, you know, Chandler and Connor tied up. Islam just fought. He's not going to move right into a title fight. Maybe the loser of the Beneil Oliveira fight, who else is floating around out there?
Chandler's fighting McGregor.
Yeah.
Who else? Gagey just beat Fazeev. Beneil's not booked, is he?
Yeah, he's fighting Oliveira.
Oh shit! Yeah, of course he is. Yeah. I mean, that's about it. They're the top boys. That's
yeah,
it.
So that kind of leaves him hanging out for a second without a dance partner for a little bit.
Herringbone.
Yeah, go ahead.
Dustin Poirier.
Oh, Dustin. It was a Dustin rematch.
Yeah. When did they fight? That was years ago as well.
It's been a while. Yeah, it's been a while.
Oh, come on. Who doesn't want to see that? Because they both want to fight for a title. They're both in kind of a similar position. Poirier just beat Chandler. You know what I mean? And they're kind of like Masvidal and Colby of the lightweight division, right? Mm-hmm. They've had shots at the belt. They've both been interim champs. But they want to fight for it again. And with respect, they're both getting towards the twilight years of their career. Who does not want to see
it? Sign it right now. Let's text Poirier,
Justin Gagey. Nice work, Mike Harrington. You're the new Joel Silva. That's the one. That's the fight.
That's got to be.
And the winner is guaranteed a title fight.
I love that. And that would give Beneil time too to let him get his win. Get himself into a title fight and then winner fights.
If he wins. Oliveira.
That's what I mean. And I don't want to write off Oliveira. This is what sucks about Beneil and Oliveira fighting. I like both of those guys a lot. But I almost want, because I don't want to root against anybody because I like them both. But I want Beneil to win. It's like, I don't even care if he wins the title. Like, can someone just give this man a chance?
Like, well, he's like the Leon Edwards.
Yeah.
He's like the Leon Edwards.
Let's just get him a chance.
Lightweight division.
Give him an opportunity. If he wins it, that's on him. If he loses, that's on him. But fuck, man, this guy's got to get a chance.
Or you could say the Bilal Muhammad of the lightweight division.
Yeah, he's pissed.
Oh, Bilal's pissed. Bilal was all over social media over the weekend. When it came out that Colby weighed in, he was fuming. Absolutely fuming. But hey, listen, I get it. But I think for Bilal, we're going off topic here. All he's got to do is stay the course because look at Leon Edwards. He was getting overlooked. He stayed the course and look what happened. I believe Bilal will get a shot eventually. All right, Justin Gagey, congratulations on an absolutely sensational event and congratulations on talking utter nonsense at the post-fight press conference. I mean, come on. I'm unprofessional. I shouldn't be near a microphone. Why? Was I unprofessional when I said that you did fantastic? Was I being unprofessional then when I was saying how great you were when I was singing your praises? You know, listen, I like Justin Gaethje. I have tremendous respect. I really do. You know, but he came out. In fact, Brian, plays the video if you have it there, because I think you've got it in the notes, because I'd like to be refreshed of what he said. I was at the bar. Do you know who showed me this?
Amari, you have a good relationship with him. Curious, did you watch the main event and how did you score it?
Yeah, I mean, I thought he won the fight, but I'm probably as biased as the judges. Certainly not as biased as Michael Bisping, who shouldn't have been nowhere near a microphone during that fight. Yeah, sucks.
Is that something the UFC needs to look at, like having guys who are...
Anyway, what wasn't that bad? But listen, the thing is, oh, you know, I'll tell you, you told me that. As I said, I was at the bar afterwards just having a couple of drinks. And Bruce Buffer comes up to me. I'm at the bar and I'm like getting around for everyone. And Buffer comes up and he's like, Mike, did you see what Justin said? I'm like, no, I didn't know. And he shows it me. I'm like, what the fuck? And then Zach and all the UFC staff were like, they all saw it together. And they were like, don't show Mike. Don't show Mike. The first thing Buffer did was come over and show me. Oh, God bless Bruce Buffer. Look, listen. I get it. Justin is disappointed for his teammate, and I actually commend that. I commend him for that, because that's the kind of brotherhood and the camaraderie that you connect, those kind of connections, and that's what you how you feel. You're family, you're going through it together, and he feels like he should have won. And obviously he's watching backstage or wherever he watched it, and he can hear the commentary, and he's like, I'm like saying good things for Leon, and he's like, he's disagreeing because he wants Kamaru to win. So every time Kamaru's doing something good, that's amplified in his mind, and he disagrees with what I'm saying. Well, sadly, mate, that's just how it is. I am not biased at all. And if anything, I have more of a relationship with Kamaru Usman than what I do Leon Edwards, as I said at the top of the show. Just because I'm from the UK, there's 65 million people. I don't know everybody. And I'm starting to get to know Leon a bit more now. But I left the UK in 2011. Leon didn't have his first fight, I think, until, I don't know, 2010 or 11, maybe. You know what I mean? So our paths never used to cross. And it's only just recently that, you know, through commentating and things like that, I've got to know him a few times. Kamaru, I've seen him around the scene for years and years and years. And as I said before, always had great interactions. So there's certainly no biased commentary. But Leon was the better guy. But as you know, Anthony, when you're in our position... Mm-hmm. It's a difficult one, you know, and
you're gonna piss someone off no matter what. You're gonna make because if Kamaru Usman would have been winning more of those exchanges and maybe winning more of those rounds, you would have been speaking higher of Kamaru Usman than you would have been Leon Edwards, and everyone in the UK would have called you a sellout and say you were biased against your own countryman because he's the champion and you're not the champion. You know, it'd be something. So
if Kamaru was picking him up, slamming him down, taking him out, elbowing the crap out of him, which didn't happen, by the way, so that's why I never said those things. But if he was, I would have said those things and I would have celebrated those things. And I did celebrate Leon winning the belt, because you have to celebrate that. It is a huge moment, because Leon went out and beat the pound for pound number one guy after waiting so long. And then he went and defended it and proved that it wasn't a fluke, proved that he's the true welterweight champion and that he's going to be potentially a long reigning welterweight champion. How can you not congratulate that? The man has just gone through that fight, five rounds with a great fighter like Kamaru Usman, and won. And regardless what you think of the situation at that time, the man's had his hand raised, and you have to take it at face value. It's just like a judge. This is an extreme case, but a judge on a trial, right? Mm-hmm. And a jury says, yeah, this guy committed murder, and the jury finds him guilty. The judge watching might think the jury got it wrong, but he has to respect the court of law and say, right, well, the jury said that you're a murderer, so unfortunately, I have to deal you a sentence of a murderer. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. He just had his hand raised. Regardless of what I think of the announcement, I've still got to celebrate the fight and talk about him like a champion. I am not going to sit there and disregard and also say that, oh, this is nonsense, this is BS, he shouldn't be the champ. Leon Edwards just did it, regardless of what you think of the decision. He did it, and you have to celebrate that and be happy for him and celebrate Kamaru for his efforts as well.
I thought you, at the very beginning of this, I thought you explained it perfectly when you said everything that Kamaru Usman does good is going to be amplified to his team, his family, his friends, and everything that Leon Edwards does to them is going to be a bit minimized. But also when he's doing a little bit better than Kamaru, not only are they trying to minimize it, but they're also listening to you celebrate it or talk about it or talk about how great it is. And it's, you know, when I seen the clip of Gaethje, I totally understood. Like, man, I get it. You know what I mean? I get it. You're like, these are one of those kind of situations. You might just have to turn the volume off, you know, because it's, we're put in a tough position. You're put in a tough position. And, you know, like I would urge more fighters in those kind of situations or people that are close to just turn the volume off because it's turn the volume off. Well, it's going to bother you. If your friend is losing, you're going to have to mute
Michael Bisping's commentating.
Just turn the
commentary off.
Even on my own fights, like sometimes I got to turn the volume off because it's like it'll hurt my feelings because I don't want to hear someone who's doing things well against me. I don't want to hear someone talk about how good it is. You know, I just don't. It's tough.
I've just got to say this. I got to give a special shout out to John Anik because John Anik messaged me because I wasn't going to say anything. I'll be honest. I DM'd Justin when I heard it because number one, I like Justin. Right. I respect Justin. Justin's came on the podcast before. Do you know what I mean? But I just messaged him. I said, what the fuck, man? I said, you're out of line there, Justin. I said, I'm a fan of your fights, but come on, you're out of line. And he just messaged back, lol. And so I put, yeah, lol indeed. Congrats on a great win. You know, I'm not getting into it. I'm not butthurt or anything. But Anik messaged me and said, do you mind if I put a tweet out in your defense? And I said, yeah, sure. So he put this. He said, I must say in defense of my broadcast partner, Bisping, the man has zero agenda or any bias when calling fights. Might even have a closer personal relationship with Kamaru Usman than he does Leon Edwards. He just felt as though Edwards controlled the stand-up and landed more cleanly. Then he went on to say, again, the job of MMA commentator is not as hard as that of a fighter, judge, or referee, but it is hard. We are judged on every utterance over 8+ hours, and certainly there are things we'd love to sometimes take back. Someone is usually upset with something. Never had a perfect show. Never will. And there it is. All right, let's talk about Innovative Extracts, the CBD/THC company owned by veterans who are giving 40% off your first order when you go to the website, ie-cbd.com, and you use the promo code MMA at checkout. As I said, veteran-owned, located in Pennsylvania, offers a full lineup of CBD and THC products. They have their own farm where they use organic practices to grow the hemp. They have an on-site lab to process the hemp, so it's the highest quality. They partner with GMP-certified facilities and use third-party labs to ensure all of their products maintain the highest quality, the best value on the market, the highest quality CBD at the most competitive price, and they will help you with aches, pains, stress, improving sleep, and they are just some of the products that they have. Their products will help improve sleep, improve your mood, reduce anxiety, and give you relief from pain and inflammation. They have tinctures, gummies, creams, vapes, you know it. They've got it. So we recommend highly that you try these guys out. Visit their website, www.ie-cbd.com, to get 40% off today by using the promo code MMA at checkout. Anyway,
yeah.
Two other things to talk about. Harrington, jump on the show. Jump on the show.
What's up, brother? I'm doing great.
Let's have a little foursome with Brian. Come on, Brian.
Oh, there he is.
Up, guys?
My God.
What I'm saying, Brian, what do you guys think of the weekend overall?
Fights were awesome. I got very drunk and yelled at them at Gas Digital.
Yeah, what do you mean yelled at them? Did you all watch them together and you got drunk and like told them some home truths?
No, just we did like a fight.
This place is bullshit, man.
No. I actually V-mixed in because my lady would not let us leave. But yeah, we all hung out and watched the fights together. It was fun.
She wouldn't let you leave.
What do you mean she wouldn't let you leave?
I mean, dude, she is bursting pregnant right now. She does not want me out of her sight for a second.
Man,
are you going to film any elements of the birth?
I don't know. We haven't decided yet. I mean, she probably isn't going to be down for it.
Can we play it on the podcast?
We want close-ups.
So we should stream it.
That's what I'm saying.
Let's go live on the channel.
All right, I'll fly in. I'll put on the bunny suit. I'll be there with camera the whole time. You guys just live your lives, have a baby like normal, and I'll just be there the whole time.
Here's another BYM trip that we're planning that's never going to happen. Put it up there with the tour, with the camping, with the hunting. No. When Lucas gave birth, I was filming a bit of it, and the nurse didn't know, because back then, what was it, 2010? She was just a bit out of touch. She didn't realize phones had cameras. You know what I mean? So I'm filming it and whatnot. I've still got it to this day. It's amazing footage. You got to film some of it, Harrington.
Just for
a keepsake, for a family thing. And then I edited some bits, no gross bits, of course. You know what I mean? I edited some bits of it into a little video, and Lucas is first, when they weigh him, and then he's like a brand new baby boy, and he clutches my finger and stuff like that. We blogged it all the way through as well, when she was getting a scan and the ultrasound and all the rest of it. You should do that, man. It'll be quite the memento.
Yeah, make sure you take those videos from the shoulders down, you know?
Yeah. They asked me if I wanted to cut the cord, and on the video, I actually said, no, that's what you get paid for.
You didn't cut it?
No.
Oh, it's the weirdest thing.
I'm looking forward to it.
Did you cut any of them?
No, I didn't. No, it's like a big blue, massive ribbon.
They're crunchy.
Yeah, like, no, I know. That's what I mean. I was like, I'm guaranteed
in your
the
brain, you're
up.
Like, it's like you're cutting a ribbon, like you're going into a, you know, like you opened a new restaurant. It's
I'm
going to
miss
like,
it. Gotta, I'm going to stab the baby with a pair of scissors or something. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? Harrington, you going to cut the cord?
I am. Alex is excited for that. And I've been getting ready. I'm expecting, like, my thought process going into it is just downward pressure from the shoulder. Don't even try to do it by hand, because I heard it's pretty tough.
Again, the downward pressure, you might stab the baby with a pair of scissors. Yeah. It's a newborn baby.
Sharp.
Just be careful.
They're pretty sharp. It's a little crunchy. They're sharp scissors. Yeah.
All right. Yeah, it's crunchy.
It is crunchy.
Anyway,
it's
moving on from the gross topic of that. And, you know, some people take home the afterbirth, fry it up, the placenta, and eat it because it's
you can send it off
food.
And get it made into, like, pills.
Yeah.
They, like, dry freeze it.
Are you going to do that, Harrington?
Yeah,
you
that's should. Literally
Rebecca!
That's why we're going to a
Rebecca.
We're having a midwife and a doula do it instead of a hospital.
Are you going to take a bite of it like in the room?
I'm probably not in the room. That's a lot. That's a lot, dude.
Oh, be a man.
That's like some Cali.
The Liver King would. The Liver King would.
Okay, I mean, there's a lot of things the Liver King would do that I wouldn't.
The all natural Liver King. Oh, Rebecca, real quick. We're just talking placenta eating. Not placenta is okay. A city down the street.
I've never eaten a placenta.
Oh, that's good to hear.
But Harrington's going
have you
to.
Eaten a placenta, Michael?
No, I haven't. I was just saying I wouldn't cut the cord, but Harrington, yeah, he should eat his, right?
Well, but it's meant to be very good for you.
Yeah, I mean, dude, they go for, I think somebody was saying $50,000 online. Because there's so many nutrients.
Why would you eat somebody else's? He was only supposed
50,
to like,
50,000 sell it.
Yeah, I'm thinking about it.
And what is it meant to do exactly?
So it helps with like every single thing you could imagine. Like the if you take it in, you get these little pill capsules made. Like,
does it grow eyeballs back?
I don't know. You should look into this.
Try Harrington's baby's placenta.
Oh my God. I will do anything. On the quest for two eyes, Bisping will do anything, even eating his fiance's placenta.
I don't know.
No offense.
You cook it.
Yeah.
Some people put it in a smoothie.
What's your lady's name again? Remind me.
Alex.
Sorry, Alex. Of course. My bad. I've been
how much to send us a piece and we eat it on the BYM?
Oh, never mind the one chip challenge.
Chip challenge.
We fry up a placenta. Bit of placenta and we eat it on the show.
I don't know if it was a thing when I was having our babies. No one kind of offered us my placenta.
If they offered, would you?
Yeah.
Oh God.
My own. Yeah, I would.
Oh God. Oh God. Cannibalism. If you had one piece of advice for Alex, giving birth, having been an experienced vet, you know, having been through this, having spat out multiple babies.
Stop saying it like that. It's disgusting. Why do you say it? You make it sound so like disgusting and derogatory. You're not giving me the respect I deserve when you say I spat out my baby.
Sorry. Just Brian, edit that bit out. You know, with you being a strong independent female, having gone through the hardships,
would you like me to mock you and all your
the hardships of childbirth, the physical and the mental labor, the toll it takes. You know, this is one of the most beautiful but hardest things that a woman can go through. Having experienced
this, why do you always have to mock it? It's so annoying. I'm sorry. I'm winding you up. He's mad now.
That's why.
My advice. What would your advice be,
Rebecca?
What's her? Is she going natural or is she just any drug at all?
So you asked me.
I know. I'm sorry.
Ideally, mostly natural. The place that we're going to has the option of the epidural or they'll actually give you nitrous. So I think she's going to try to do it with just nitrous.
Do the nitrous, bro.
It doesn't do anything. But what I will say, you don't get any medals for having a natural birth. Like if she wants, like no one cares really. Like no one's going to go, oh, you had drugs when you were giving birth. Like no one cares. So if she wants that, like don't let her kind of feel any pressure from anywhere.
So she's more concerned with being loopy in the baby's first moments and with the fact that there's a needle in the spine. She's super scared about that.
Yeah. Well, the whole epidural thing, like, I don't think you can actually move like off the bed. Like you're completely immobile. You cannot feel anything with the epidural. So she won't even listen. She
MMA
won't even...
talk coming back real soon. I promise. I'm into this.
She won't even know when you, I believe anyway, if you get a full epidural, she won't even know when to push. But when you don't have an epidural, your body takes over. Like she will, you know what I mean? Her body will just do it. So there is that to bear in mind. Epidural would be like last resort for me.
Yeah. Yeah. But you can have the drugs though.
Yeah. I think there's some drugs. In England, there's pethidine. I don't know what they have out here.
Yeah. Yeah.
But you can only have that you can't have it too close because then it'll go through to the baby. Nitrous oxide, it doesn't work. I didn't even use it with Lucas. All right. I'm sorry.
No, don't be sorry. Don't be sorry. But I am trying to, before all the believers, like, oh.
They are loving this.
Yeah, I'm into this, Mike.
Anthony is well into this.
Well, he is. But 99.9% of the listeners are men.
That's okay. They're there for the birth.
I'm not the only man on here that's ever watched a baby before.
Did you cut
your baby's umbilical cord?
All four. I got all four pairs of scissors, too.
What's wrong with you?
I've kept all the scissors.
The scissors?
I kept all four pairs of scissors.
Oh.
Nice. Yeah.
Michael didn't do any of that.
It did scare me the first time. I thought I cut the baby's leg because I was expecting it to be easy.
That's why. No. Yeah, in old jokes aside, I did it because I have a weird belly button. I do. And I was born in Cyprus. And I think maybe
it's not weird. It's just big.
It's really big. Do you know what I mean? No, it is. It's like, it's a very large belly button. I'm sure it's because of the way they did it in Cyprus or something. And I'm like, I don't want my children's belly button to be a conversation piece every time you take the top off.
It's got nothing to do with the way you cut it.
Well, I don't know. I think it's different.
Maybe it was different then, but like, I remember I cut it and then they like trimmed it down and did their thing.
Yeah.
So I just got to remove the baby from the mom.
And they put the plastic there to kind of cut off the blood flow.
Yeah, but that was why. That was why genuinely I was like, I want to make sure it has a most normal belly button possible. Do you know what I mean?
Said at the time,
well, at least you're thinking about it, though.
I said, well, you get paid to do that. So I was like, you know, you do it. I'm good. Stop trying to get out of your work. No wonder. The nurses are striking in the UK right now. They're bloody lazy.
Oh, my God.
All right, well, thank you, sweetheart.
Welcome.
Can I have the headphone back?
Pull it out.
Say goodbye.
Goodbye.
Bye, Rebecca.
Thank you, darling. Anyway, send her our best because that's going to be coming up any day now, right?
Due date is 2 days away. We are scheduled for induction next week.
All right. We'll see. All jokes aside, an incredible moment for you. All right, I just want to tell you about Legacy Precious Metals. Look, listen. The world's going through tough times at the minute, okay? So I'm not going to tell you to invest and spend money and all the rest of it. But if you're fortunate enough to be able to have a few extra dollars to invest, the stock market is all over the place. The housing market is up and down. But precious metals are still and always have been a valuable commodity, which is still going up and always on the rise. Do you know that in recent history, when the stock market plummeted, gold held its value and even increased? Legacy Precious Metals is the company that I trust when investing in gold and silver. They are a family company and they've been super helpful, and their staff is easy to talk to. They can ship metals directly to your door or help you put your metals in a retirement account. Check out this 5-ounce silver coin, which I ordered. As you can see, it's very, very big. Bigger than my, well, it's not bigger than my fist, but it's almost as big. You get the point, what I'm trying to say. Listen, as I said before, the economy is in trouble and 2023 doesn't look like it's going to be a good year, sadly. So as a fighter, wealth preservation is very important to me. I know I need to know that my money is secure and not disappearing with inflation or a stock market pullback. Legacy Precious Metals has a free gold guide that will answer all your questions about investing in gold and silver. Check out the link to download or call them at 866-933-0317. As I say, I know times are tough right now, but if you are fortunate enough to have a few dollars to invest, it doesn't have to be a massive investment. It can be a very small investment, you know, and they will hold your gold for you or they will send it to you. So there it is. Legacy Precious Metals, 866-933-0317. This is not an incredible moment. I saw this on the news this morning. And I sent it to the group chat real quick. Harrington, I'll let you break down the details of it. And the reason why I wanted to talk about this, because I want to highlight it to any young men or women, you know, that are wrestlers or mixed martial artists. Because sadly, when I saw this on the news and it's about a young wrestler that passed away, sadly, I thought, wow, it's going to be because of cutting weight. You know, and sadly, some people do die when they cut weight, but it wasn't that. And it's even more shocking than that anyway. But Harrington, over to you.
Yeah, so this was an extreme circumstance. A student of University of the Cumberland in Kentucky, it was his first day of wrestling practice for the season. And the coaches took them to what they called Punishment Hill and had them do wind sprints, just straight up and down the hill. He was begging for water and the coaches, just refused him. They said, you know, first day of practice, get conditioned, whatever. No water, really for anyone. Unfortunately for this, student, he was on ADD medication, which he was prescribed for, and it required him, to consume more water than even a normal person. So added in with the sprints, he ended up dying, of heat stroke.
Well, it wasn't just that he died, Anthony. Oh, bless him. And there's a picture of him with hand wraps on, like standing in a fighting pose. I think he had, you know, designs on being an MMA fighter or turning his hand to that. And there was a video on the news this morning. It was so sad. It was like CCTV footage of like the campus grounds. And he's running around trying to find water. And he went up to like a water fountain. He was trying to get water, but it was broken. There was no water coming out. And when they found him dead, he'd been digging in the soil just to try and get some water out of somewhere. The poor guy. Now, the school was sued and the family was awarded $40 million. So what? Yeah, and it went to the parents money. This morning. Fuck the money. It went to the parents and the father was just as you can imagine, just broken beyond belief. But as I say, when I saw it was a wrestler, I thought the story was going to be from cutting weight. Because it is so dangerous when you cut weight. And of course, not trying to steer that conversation to us, but it's kind of our experiences with cutting weight and how dangerous it is. I mean, number one, those coaches, I mean, I get it. Wrestling's a hard sport and they get pushed to the absolute limit, you know, and that is what molds them into being such a physically and mentally tough wrestler on the mats. And it's good life lessons. But at some point, geez Louise, in this day and age, it's just heartbreaking.
Yeah, you know, as he was like reading the story, I flash back to like my experience growing up in like, you know, even middle school, late elementary school wrestling. That's how it was. Like they would just grind you and run you and it'd be hot. The heater would be on and the wrestling room would be 100 degrees in there. And like no water breaks, you were, you know, they'd call you a pussy if you needed to get a drink or whatever. And then I like kind of look at like, you know, as I'm coaching my own kids wrestling team and how even my practices now are ran, you know, the team practices, like you're not any tougher because you're thirsty. You know what I mean? Like it doesn't like the thirst doesn't like, I'm glad that like kind of that mentality has kind of been broken out of us or out of our culture a little bit. Obviously there's still some of the older school generation guys that still have that mentality. But I remember always thinking back in the day, like like being thirsty isn't making me any tougher. Like yeah. being dehydrated,
quenching
doesn't make me,
your thirst does not make you less of a
does not make
a
me
a
pussy. Yeah, it doesn't make me a doesn't make me a pussy. So, I think it was cool, like knowing how it was back when I was coming up, seeing how even in the kids' practices and the high school practices, there's, you know, there's water bottles spread out, like so you're not taking all the time to to fight over one water fountain, but it's like quick drink, you know, in between your live goes or whatever. Like I don't see any issue with that. I think that it's cool seeing this, I guess, grow, you know, kind of as a community. You don't see that anymore. Like we get plenty of opportunities to get something to drink when we're at practice and stay hydrated, or else you're going to perform like shit. You're going to feel like shit. So it's sad that some of that same old school mentality is still shining through in some places. And unfortunately this poor guy was kind of a victim of that. And that's especially with ADD meds, because that stuff does dehydrate the shit out of you.
I'm sure it does. I don't know too much about the science behind that, but when I saw heat stroke, I thought it was the weight cut, because I remember when I cut weight for the Jason Miller fight 2011 at the Palms Casino. Oh my God. I came out the sauna or whichever one it was. I had the plastics on, covered in sweet sweat, and my heart was going. That it was beating so fast, it was ridiculous. And the heat coming off me, and I collapsed on the floor. And Brady, my jiu-jitsu coach, touched me. And he's like, "Whoa, Mike," he said, "you are overheating like crazy." And that's the dangers. And that's the dangers of cutting weight, you know. And the culture in this sport, I get it. You want to get every advantage possible, but I would like to see that minimized. But that is just so sad. My thoughts to the family, and hopefully this can be a learning curve. A learning lesson for everyone involved, because as you say, you put that perfectly. Having a sip of water doesn't make you less of a man.
Yeah,
not being thirsty doesn't make you. I mean, yeah, that's
just, yeah. It doesn't make you tougher. It just makes you thirsty. Like I don't get it.
Yeah, it's not a sign of weakness.
I've never been in the middle of a wrestling match or a fight and been like, man. I wish I would have withheld water for myself more often.
Yeah. Oh man, I really wish I was thirsty right now. That would really make me feel like a proper
Doesn't make
man.
Any fucking sense at all. I don't know why we did that, but that's just
all right. What should we do? Should we go to some of the news, or should we do some of the other fights? Harrington, is there some of the big fights that happened at the weekend? Obviously, Marvin Vettori, Roman Dolidze had a great fight.
Yeah.
Close fight. I thought Marvin just edged it in rounds two and three. I thought Dolidze had a big round one. I thought he just kind of edged it in rounds two and three. What do you think, though? Because I saw a bit of criticism. Some people saying, basically, just because he's your friend doesn't mean you've got to think that he won. I'm like, well, I thought he ever so slightly edged it in two and three.
The same thing. That's what I thought, too. And I don't know Marvin Vettori at all. So I thought it was really close. Okay, I got a question for you, actually.
Please.
If you were coaching Marvin Vettori, what would you change about his style? Or what would you add to his game? Obviously, it'd be nice to see him getting some finishes.
Yeah.
Because I think that he's good enough to be able to do that. I seen that he'd gone to Thailand and wanted to add to his kicking game a little bit. I don't know. I just feel like he's top of the mountain. He's tip of the spear in that division. But I do get this feeling like he's missing something. And I don't know what that is, but I think that if he added whatever that X factor is that I just can't put my finger on, I think it would take him to the next level. You know, we're talking winning these title fights, not just challenging and not just being
not
close
just getting
fights with
them.
Izzy. Not just getting them.
I think
if you just added one or two things and you could pull it together. I just can't put my finger on what that is. And I don't know if you had any idea.
Yeah. Well, obviously it's a tough one, isn't it? Because he is talented, but you know, I've said this a few times, but after the Whittaker fight, he told me backstage, I've never experienced anything like that, you know, because he would go from boxing range and then all of a sudden be in kicking range and I couldn't compete with the kicking side of things. So I really respected that, and I respected more that because the fight was in Paris. He went to Italy for a few days, saw some family, and then went straight to Thailand to a Thai boxing camp to improve his kicking ability. So he's humble and he's willing to do what it takes. And he's very lucky in one regard that he has no wife or children, because he can literally just travel the world focusing on his fighting. I mean, it's just mixing everything together, you know, getting a little bit more fluid in everything, you know. It's hard to highlight one thing, you know, maybe putting together slightly longer combinations and then a bit more footwork and things like that. But I've got nothing overly critical. He was jabbing out. I was saying a few times, maybe if he doubled up those jab, put a right hand behind it, come with a head kick after that, just slightly longer, but longer combinations, mix up to the body a bit more, not just head hunting. But all in all, he's a pretty complete fighter. You know,
I know, so that's just, that's what makes it tough. It's like,
but you're right. You're right.
He does everything great. It's just like, I don't know if he could add one or two things. I just can't put my finger on what those two things are, but elevate him to the moon.
Do you know what I think he needs? And you have, what's he called again? Your coach? Oh my God. My apologies.
Mark.
Yeah. Mark Montoya. Yeah. You have Mark Montoya. I had Jason Perillo. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
He needs, I don't think he's got somebody like that.
Like a
head coach.
Someone to lead the journey.
Just someone that can help him out along the way with the emotional roller coaster that is the fight game, to help him control the emotions. Because that's 90% of this fight game. Yeah, everyone trains hard. There's thousands of people all over the planet in the gyms every day pushing themselves to the limit, wanting to be a Conor McGregor or an Israel Adesanya or an Islam Makhachev. The world's full of them. Do you know what I mean? But the people that can control this thing along the way, they're the ones that become the champions. And maybe he just needs to find, because I think for the most part, he's riding solo. You know what I mean?
Kind of like him and Sean Strickland. Like they don't really have like a guide, if that makes any sense.
A mentor.
Yeah, mentor. Yeah, like someone.
You need a mentor. Like Perillo wasn't my head coach. I mean, he kind of was. He was. But he's a boxing coach. You know, he wasn't like doing everything, but he was certainly my head coach. He was in control of the team. He was the main guy when we traveled the road. But more importantly, he was like a mentor to me.
Right.
And I think that's what he needs.
But when you had to be somewhere, he's the one that told you where to be.
He's the fucking guy that came with me as well.
Right.
He needs to find, in terms of Rocky, he needs to find his Mick.
Right. You know what? Maybe that's a fantastic assessment, because you do see that like almost all the champions and all the guys at the top have that person. They have that person. You know, Islam had Habib and Leon
Habib, and now he's got Javier Mendez.
Javier. You know, Leon's got, I forget his name. It just escapes
Dave,
me.
Dave Lavelle, I think.
Lavelle.
He is.
Right. Dave Lavelle. Yeah. So he's got him, you know.
Eugene Barrowman from Kickboxing.
John Jones has had Brandon Gibson kind of by his side this whole time. Before that, it was Greg Jackson. Before that, it was Wink. He's always had a guy, you know.
And not just only for the physical side of things and all that. Someone that when you have in your doubts and your darkest moments and when you're sad or depressed, because we're human beings as well, and we have those moments just like anybody else that you can express them to. Do you know what I mean? Because, you know, we also have our wives. And that's the best friend you'll ever have in your entire life. You know what I mean? Yeah. So we can talk about those things as well. Yeah. So...
Mike, it happened to me today. Like I had a shit practice this morning and I just sat down. I didn't even have to say anything. I sat down, Mark came over and he said, "What's wrong? You got something going on." And I'm like, let's lose my shit for a second.
Yeah.
You know? And it's just, you know how it is. You're in training camp and you got these world ranked guys and they're a week out from their fight, but I'm 8 weeks out. So we're in different places and I'm trying new shit. And you know how it is when you try new shit. You try new shit with guys that are already about fight ready and it never works and you feel like shit. It takes a minute to get it worked into your game. You get frustrated. You just want to lose your fucking mind. And then you need that guy to say, "Hey, chill out. This, and this worked really well. That's all I needed. The rest of the shit will figure itself out. But here's what I needed you to do." And if you don't have that, then you just leave the gym feeling like shit, you know?
and by the way, I just want to say, maybe he does, and we're just not aware.
Maybe.
So if we do, we apologize, Marvin, because if you do, then it could be deemed as pretty disrespectful, but it's not. It's coming from a place of love and respect. Right. And from what I can see, from what the world sees, it doesn't appear that he has that. Maybe I'm wrong, but you do need that. And as you say, you know, those days when things don't click in the gym and it's all going wrong and the doubt starts to creep in, and you think, shit, everything's going wrong. I can't get it together. I can't even beat this guy in the gym. How am I going to win this fight? It's a main event. the whole world's going to be watching. So the anxiety and the doubt and the mental anguish all creeps in and it all affects you, you know? So maybe it's that, but, you know.
We should have someone, him on. We should have him
no,
on.
No, we will. We'll have Marvin. Him on again, and that'll be a very, very good question. Harrington, is there any – what is this about Hamza over the weekend? Because I see I'm looking at the notes here, and I apologize. I haven't had a good look through the notes yet because I just got back and I went for a quick run and now I'm my t-shirt is actually soaking wet. But what's Hamza in the news for and what's this thingy bob that he's looking at?
So a couple things for Hamza. One, Dana said that his next fight will be at middleweight. He says he's like going to be fighting he said he should be fighting a top three guy in the world given where he's at right now. Obviously, Hamza is shutting things down for Ramadan. And I guess as part of that, he kicked off the weekend with a visit to some orphan children, brought them some toys. And then this moment went viral. Here he is talking to an orphan girl about her dreams. Yeah, there was no there wasn't audio picked up from the thing, but you can see Hamza clearly getting emotional here talking to these less than fortunate children. And it just went viral over the weekend.
Yeah, well, good for him. Good for him. It's lovely to see him having a platform like he has because he's a massive star in MMA now and using it for good and inspiring the next generation. And even if it's just not to inspire them, just to show up for a day and put a smile on their faces. You know, they're growing up in an orphanage. I mean, my word, you know.
That's crazy.
Can you imagine? Can you imagine growing up in an orphanage?
It like, you know what I do when I see kind of like kids in those situations or you see the stuff on TV or whatever. You always, as a parent, put yourself in those, like your own kids in those positions. Like, I can't imagine. You know what I mean? I can't imagine. I love it when I see fighters just cut the bullshit and drop the tough guy thing and just talk to kids like that or try to motivate or for like you said, for a day, show them that you give a shit and that you care. You know, Colby's come out. There's been a couple videos with Colby that have come out where he's dropped the character, dropped all the bullshit. Been a young kid who just wants some advice on how to be like him. And it's one of the coolest videos I've ever seen. Of just Colby, him being him, giving him some advice. You need to eat right. Don't go out partying with your friends. You just got to work really hard. When everyone else is partying, I'm working. I thought it was one of the coolest motivational little, you know, not even speeches, but like just advice that he gave a kid for no goddamn reason. I thought it was really fucking cool. So I love when you see people do that.
Well, as I said before, at the airport on Sunday morning, Colby was so nice. And he wasn't trying to be nice. He wasn't trying to kiss ass or curry any favor with me. He was just being himself. And what stood out, and you could just feel it, was just, and people will think this crazy, the fucking class of the man. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
He was a class act. And it's the first time I've interacted with him in that kind of situation. I've never seen him like that. I've seen him once. When I interviewed him with BT Sport, and he was cool as hell and professional then. But then I bumped into him at the airport, and he was so nice. And then I saw him walking off and interacting with a couple of people at the airport staff and whatnot. Do you know what I mean? And it just left a really good taste in my mouth. And it was nice to see.
His coaches? Oh, sorry to cut you off here, man. I just wanted to say this part. When I was injured, when I had my broken ankle, I was working a bunch. You know, I worked a bunch of shows back to back to back because I wasn't training. I couldn't do shit. So I was like, well, I might as well just work. And the MMA Masters guys were at almost every single one of these events. Like they were in Paris and they were San Diego. And then I see, you know, like I was just a bunch of different places. And that's where Colby's training. And these guys couldn't be, if I could give a shout out to coaches that I've never physically worked with, spent time with them, had a drink with them and whatever, but never trained with them. If I could say something great about these guys, just that they seem very like a family oriented kind of group of guys. Like they're care about the gym and the fighters' families and people, them being successful and whatever. And I asked them, like, don't bullshit me. What's Colby like in real life? And they say the exact same thing that you're saying. Super classy, really helpful at the gym, really quiet. He comes in, works his ass off. Like, I can't believe I'm saying this sometimes, you know? Like,
No. I was about to say what I said a second ago. I was like, people are going to laugh because when you see the persona they puts forward, and it's a WWE character in the UFC. And for a while I was like, nah. The guy's a scumbag. He's a piece of garbage. He's talking so much shit. But looks like I was definitely wrong. Anyway, I know you haven't got too much time left, right? What can you give us? Because you're in training camp. I'm not giving you shit.
Yeah, I got about 15 minutes. Yeah.
Okay. Harrington, what's the top story we should go to? Or anything off the fight night that you want to bring up, anything relevant on your mind, Anthony? Your call, because you've got 20 minutes.
Oh, fuck. I wish I had the results for the main card right
now. Well, don't start bloody wasting one of the minutes going, the clock's 14 minutes, 30 seconds now.
Harrington, what do you got? You got something.
One of the biggest developments from the weekend wasn't a fight, but Anderson Silva getting elected into the Hall of Fame this year. He joins Jose Aldo and Jens Pulver as the fighters being entered in 2020.
Yeah, but listen, I'm sorry. It's not a huge story,
but it's not real shocking, right?
It's just that had to happen. That's like as clear as day following night, or water is wet and fire burn. Okay. Did you see GSP say that at my press conference? All right. Okay. I wasn't sure if you're thinking, what's he going on? Water is wet. Yeah. Water is wet, fire burn, and Anderson Silva in Hall of Fame. I don't know what that GSP is sounding like, someone from India or somewhere. It's a no-brainer. The man is one of the very, 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 very best to ever step foot. He set the world on fire. He inspired multiple generations of fighters. I said it Saturday night. He was the guy that was constantly causing me to elevate my game, to improve, to get better, because he was at the top of the food chain and he was the guy that I wanted to fight. And if I wanted to fight that guy and be competitive, I knew I had to get better. Anderson Silva is without a question a legend of the sport. The word legend isn't even strong enough to embody what he has done and what he means to the sport of mixed martial arts.
I feel the exact same as you. Like it almost feels like Anderson Silva's already in the Hall of Fame. Like, we know he's getting in, he's going to be in the Hall of Fame. Like, when it popped up, we're like, oh duh. Like, Anderson's definitely going in. But you know, he's one of those generational type of fighters that just changes the game. I don't know if you said this one time, but there's a select few fighters that every time they fight Monday morning or Monday afternoon, kids and up and coming fighters are going to the gym and going to practice and trying the shit that they've seen that fighter do. Like, Anderson Silva was one of those guys. GSP was one of those guys. You know, John Jones is one of those guys where every time they fight, they show something different or new or makes people want to emulate them.
Demetrius Johnson, when he body locked and threw him down and then jumped into the arm.
How many times have you tried that?
Yeah, well, not once, because I'm an old fuck.
I tried it a bunch.
Did you manage it?
No, it's tough. No, he's a little guy.
Those skinny guys don't feel bad. They're easy. And the guy's throwing around is much smaller. But yeah, you're right. Some of those knockouts, the front kicks to the face. Of course, he wasn't the first one. There was Machida and lots of other people. But yeah. It's a legend different. Of the highest degree.
Right. I was just going through the notes. What did you think about Dana saying that Bilal, we kind of were talking about Bilal and staying the track and all that stuff. But what did you think of him saying that they're working on Bilal versus Rakhmonov?
Oh, I didn't see that. Right. Yeah, because I'm just scanning the notes. Yeah, I have to look at the other monitor. People think I'm not listening.
That's a good one.
It's a tremendous fight. Take my money as a fan. But as Bilal Muhammad, it's like, really?
Man, another tough guy like that?
I'm going to be on an 8 or 9 fight win streak and you're going to throw Shavkat at me. A guy that potentially could be the future of the division once he gets his hands on a title shot, if he gets there. And then you're going to give me that guy. But that's the way it goes. Look at Leon. Who did he fight? I know he had Diaz. He had Bilal Muhammad. Mm-hmm. Who did he have after that? It was Kamaru.
It was Kamaru, yeah.
It was Kamaru.
But he had a couple tough ones too. He had I think he fought like Barbarina. I think he...
Dos Anjos.
He had Luque. I mean, he fought...
Yeah.
Luque, and especially a lot of those guys were like hot too when he fought.
And Luque at that time certainly was, yeah. So he's not hot now.
Yeah.
He also had a tough one. For what it's worth, guys, he accepted the Khamzat fight when nobody else would.
I think he accepted the Khamzat fight twice.
Yeah, that's crazy. How about Khamzat going to 185 too? That's I guess that's kind of newsworthy at 170, where he's gonna. Dana said he's getting a big fight at 185. I wonder who he gets.
Yeah. But well, I heard a rumor.
It's gotta be Whitaker.
That
right?
No, it's not. That's the fight they were trying to make. They were trying to make a fight with Whitaker, but yeah, not happening for whatever reason. I mean, Whitaker's right there as well. For Whitaker, and I want that fight to happen. I want to see Whitaker versus Hamza as a fight fan all day long. But Whitaker versus Hamza is kind of like Bilal fighting Shavkat. You know what I mean?
It's kind of like, what the fuck?
Whoa. I'm next in line for a title fight once this all shakes out. You know, right. Whitaker's probably like, whoa. I want to wrestle Pereira's head off. You know what I mean? Not go up against you nut job. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Out of respect, because you are good, but you haven't deserved it yet. It's your first fight in the goddamn division. Test the waters. Dip a toe on in. I think he's had one fight at 185, but whatever. Gerald Mayorkas.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, it was 85. What are you hearing? What are you hearing? Who are they trying to make it with?
I'm not hearing anything. If I want to hold on to my job.
No.
Circle of trust, bro. I'll whisper
I'd like to see, I don't know. Probably like Cannonier. That'd be a good one.
Oh, Cannonier would be a good one because he needs a fight.
Yeah.
That'd Sean be a good Strickland. One. Two Ooh. Bad guys together. Yeah. Oh, there you go. Sean Strickland, Hamzat Chimaev. There it is.
I like that.
Sean Strickland's a real man.
Yeah. I'll have the contract sent to those guys.
Do me a favor. Send Daniel a text. Tell him that Michael authorizes Sean Strickland versus Hamzat Chimaev. Do you know what? That. That's not a bad shout, actually. It might even be that.
Yeah. That'd be fun. That'd be a
Sean
lot of fun.
Sean just beat, who did he beat? He just came back and beat the one dude. The Russian guy, whatever his name is. Come on, Harrington.
God damn it. Who was Harrington?
Wasn't it? I thought his last fight was against Cannonier, but I'll look that up.
No, he took
something on short notice at 205.
He took something on short notice. What was his name? We don't know his name.
Who was it?
Nazardine Imavov.
That's what I said.
Yes, Harrington with the computer in front of you. Jesus.
Nazardine. Because Nazardine was supposed to fight Gaslam.
Yeah, there you go. All right, well, there you go. We sign off on that. Want to say big shout out. Let's have a look. I'm looking at the fight card here. Oh, got to talk about this. Okay. Mohamed Makhachev not tapping
to
Jafel Filio to that knee bar because, I mean, the leg was bending that way.
Yeah, have you seen the picture?
Brian, if you've got that, oh my God, it makes you cringe. It makes you shudder. It is disgusting, right? Yeah. It's just like an armbar, right? But it was bending the other way. They don't bend that way. They are not designed to go that way. And he didn't tap. And it was there for quite some time. So on top of all the skills that Mohamed Makhachev has, you can just see how mentally tough this man is.
There's no way he's walking today. No way he's walking normal.
I saw him afterwards. And the impressive thing was he didn't tap to that. And then he immediately turned it around. I think it was a rear naked choke he got him with. Mm-hmm. Afterwards, I'm backstage. Here he comes on the crutches, right?
Yeah, he already can't walk.
So we have he can't walk. Can't walk at all, right? And he said, he's got to have a scan, but they've got to wait for the scanning to go down yet. So they can't have it just yet. Otherwise, he'd be at the hospital now. And I said, dude, tell me, how bad was that pain on a scale of 1 to 10? And he said, it was a 10. He said, it was higher than 10. He said, but I'm not going to tap. I said, Jesus Christ, you maniac. He said, so what, Mike? Your eye, my knee. That's what we do. That's what he said. I went, you're right. But I mean, that's a special fighter right there.
Yeah, that takes a lot of. That's not even toughness. You know, it just takes balls to just be like, well, this thing's going to break or I'm going to pull it out. You know, who was the fighter that his arm got broken in an arm bar? Was it Rich Franklin? Maybe Rich Franklin.
Rich Franklin had his arm broke against a head kick from Chuck Liddell, but then still went to knock him out with the other hand. Frank Mir had his arm broke. No. Noguera had his arm broke, but didn't want to tap.
Yeah. Frank Mir broke Tim Sylvia's arm. There was a fighter that got his arm broken in an arm bar, but because it was broken, was able to pull it out and then got a finish like right then. I don't remember.
Oh, really?
I'm gonna bring that on Wednesday. I'm gonna figure out who that was.
I can't remember that. Which one that is? There's a couple more stories we'll go through. Me and Harrington will do that in a second because we've got a few more stories and whatnot to get to, and I'll go through a few more of the fights with Harrington. But before we go, we'll get a quick question answer from Anthony Smith. Are you cool with that, Anthony?
Yeah, let's do it.
BYMpod@gmail.com if you want to send them in. Funnier the better the better. Let's just be honest. The better the question, the better, because some of them have been shite. Right. Now, Harrington, what have you got to say, mate?
If you are enjoying this show on iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you find podcasts, make sure you subscribe to the show and you leave a 5-star rating, positive review. It helps out on those platforms. If you're watching on YouTube, make sure you're subscribed to the channel and you hit that notification bell to find out whenever a new video drops. And if you want to catch over 400 episodes you can't find anywhere else, completely ad-free and uncensored, head to GasDigitalNetwork.com. Use the promo code BYM. Get yourself a 7-day free trial. Check out over 20 great shows on the network.
There you go.
All right. So a question we got here is for both of you guys, and this is from Matt Kurz.
Hey, guys. My name's Matt. I'm from Toledo, Ohio. Quick question for you guys. So I'm going to be done with school here in 2 months, and I am starting a job where I get a decent sign-on bonus. Through school, my wife's been the one supporting us, so with my sign-on bonus, I wanted to do something pretty nice for her. So my question for you guys is, what's the first big nice gift you got for your wives with like your first big fight purse? Thanks, guys. Hope everyone takes care.
The first like proper thing, I bought her a car for her birthday. I know that's a lot, that's big, but it wasn't nothing flash, it wasn't anything too crazy. It's called a Renault Megane convertible. You won't get those in America. Brian, just Google that. R-E-N-A-U-L-T. Renault, it sounds like. Megane convertible. For her birthday. Wrapped it up, put the ribbon on it, everything, the whole thing, you know. And then it had a little key card, not a key, you know, and I put that inside a birthday card. And I think that was the first, like, you know, thing like that. What about you?
I think the first big, it was probably jewelry, probably like a nice piece of jewelry. Oh, look at that. Is that it?
There we go. Renault Megane. Yeah. And you know what? Incidentally, when I moved away, cause you can't take it with us to America, could have sold it. But my sister was a student. She didn't have much money. My little sister, Shireen, gave it to Shireen. Thought, there you go. What a great gift. Do you know
she still have it? She sold it. Like right away.
Pretty soon. Sold it, bought a proper little piece of shit car, a total banger, as we call it in England. Bought a little banger, pocketed the cash. Anyway, sorry, back to the jewelry.
Anyways, yeah, probably jewelry. And then I think the next like big thing was also a car. I think it was like a real nice brand new car.
No, but fair play to that guy, because you know what? More importantly, she supported him. You know, throughout it. Like, I remember when I started my fight career, and I'm sure it's the same for you, and I know you got to go, and I'm giving you anxiety as we speak.
No.
My wife supported us 100%.
Mine did too for a while.
She was working as a dental nurse. I was training. I was doing a little bit of DJing, but not much. But she was the one not only working during the day, doing all the work, doing the housework, raising the kids, because I was out of town. In another place, Monday to Friday. Do you know what I mean? She was the one physically supporting, mentally supporting, you know, and wouldn't have got it done. And we wouldn't be here now if it wasn't for the sacrifice that she made. And I say that to her all the time, you know. So shout out to all you women out there that, you know, behind every man, there's a good woman, as they say. And it's absolutely true.
100%. And I feel the same way. It was very similar where she was working as a nurse and I was training and I wasn't making shit, but she believed in this dream. And here we are today. I would urge that guy to, you know, if it is a car, like you said, a car is a pretty big gift. But anyways, I would wrap it up with an experience though. Send her to the spa for a day. Send her to the beach along with whatever you get her.
Don't worry about spending a ton of money on a material object. You know what I mean? Because eventually that car ended up being given to my sister and she sold it. Something else, it gets old and it gets crappy and all the rest of it. Memories, experiences. Mm-hmm. Like a trip. They're the real things. Yeah, a little like trip away. Maybe something a weekend. Special. Go away for a weekend, surprise her. Or even if you can't afford that, a day or two. I don't know what your budget is, but if you could take her away for a couple of days, a nice little weekend, or even just a nice dinner out where you treat her like
breakfast
a lady.
Breakfast in bed.
Yeah. Oh, there you go.
Somewhere make nice. Yeah.
Things. I mean, I don't know about all women. I'm speaking about women like my wife would rather have a nice bit of affection and an experience and breakfast mm-hmm. in bed or something like that, rather than going, hey, here's a pair of designer shoes. You know? Right.
Totally you know? Agree.
Right. We'll let you
all
get
right,
out of
Mike,
here.
All right, Mike. I'm going to get out of here.
We'll end on this. How is training camp going other than getting your ass kicked every day and spitting your dummy out?
Man, it's going great. It really is. I'm growing, which you know how it goes. Like I'm getting better and I'm learning a lot of new things and just working into my game. So there's some growing pains that come along with that. But overall, I feel really good. Physically, I'm in really good shape. I'm ahead of schedule. So
how long to the fight?
Shit, I got 7 weeks left.
And what's the date?
May 13th.
May 13th. Am I commenting? I'll let you go right now. Want to know.
There's no location yet. I haven't confirmed the location yet, but
No. I've got a few, but they haven't. May 13th. Hold on. 5:20.
Damn it!
I'm doing the week after.
Fuck. All right.
Which will be broken down to the believers. Oh, Bisping doesn't care. Doesn't want to be calling his fights.
He doesn't even want to work his fight anymore.
Nah. All right, go on. Get out of here.
You guys take
care. See you in a couple of days.
Enjoy the rest of the show.
All the best. Yeah. Well, let's take a minute to thank Manta Sleep. High-level athletes and performers know quality sleep is the foundation for everything good that happens in life. Driven by the belief, Manta is on a mission to give light sleepers control and mastery over their sleep. With Manta Sleep, you can maximize the enjoyment of life and unlock your full potential. The masks are 100% blackout for deeper sleep, made of soft, breathable, and durable materials, so you never worry about it stretching out or falling off. Now you can check out the brand new sound mask featuring razor-thin Bluetooth headphones with a 20-hour battery life. As always, Manta features a 60-day risk-free trial and free shipping in the USA. So go to MantaSleep website, the website, MantaSleep.com, and see their full selection of sleep accessories. They've got body pillows, weighted blankets, sleep machines, everything that a light sleeper could need. Listen, getting a good night's sleep, it's essential to a good day. If you want to be energetic, you want to be productive, you want to feel good, you just want to be in a good mood, be a nice person to be around, getting a good night's sleep is essential. If for some reason you struggle, you don't want to dose yourself up with medications. You want to go to Manta Sleep and you want to use the promo code Bisping to get 10% off, the perfect gift for yourself or that light sleeper that you know. Manta, sleep better anywhere, anytime. All right, let's get back into it. All right, so Anthony Smith has left us and we do have some more questions, which we'll do in just a second. But there was other fights which happened on Saturday night. So I'm going to go through a few of them because, you know, they went out there for our entertainment, Harrington. Gunnar Nelson, Brian Barberena. We'll just spend this will be a quick blast on each one. Brian Barberena, I think he's going to be so annoyed. I love Brian Barberena. He's an awesome fighter. He's an awesome person. He brings it every single time and he's a class act. He took his time a little bit too much and he took his time enough so that when Gunnar decided to explode, it was too late. It was too late because Gunnar is so good at what he does. You know, and he's very strong and he's a great athlete and he picked him up and he took him down and then he took them out, elbowed him and got the armbar. It was textbook stuff. And I totally understand Brian Barberena being very cautious because you have to be. But you're also, while you're waiting, Gunnar's waiting and they're waiting for the perfect time, just like you're waiting for the perfect time. Listen, stylistically, it was always a tough matchup. I thought it was interesting because when we spoke to Gunnar Nelson at the fighter meetings, it seemed like his heart wasn't in it anymore. He said, yeah, he doesn't enjoy it. I said, well, what is it? Do you not like being center of the attention? He said, well, no, I don't like that at all. He said, I prefer coaching, if I'm honest, to actually fighting. So we all thought when he walked out the room, oh, that didn't sound good. Sound like a guy that's kind of got one foot out the door. Maybe he was here for a paycheck or whatever. But he certainly didn't fight like that, Harrington.
No, no, no. And I mean, it's weird. A guy like that, who I think has retired multiple times now and then come back. So to hear that is not, it is a bit shocking. But he did say that RDA set the perfect blueprint for him, right? Like whatever RDA did in that fight, his plan was to replicate it. It's weird for me for Barbarina, a guy who goes in there against strikers and has no problem making it ugly, turning it into a brawl. And then as soon as he's against the grappler, like you said, he does freeze up a little bit. So that's...
Yeah, well, because he doesn't have those kind of credentials. So that's why he's being careful. Before that, we had Jennifer Meyer, Casey O'Neill. Love the way Casey O'Neill fights. You know, brings it every time. She was on a 4-fight win streak. Jennifer Meyer was just better. She looked like she's improving every time against Marina Moroz. Her striking was phenomenal. The right hand couldn't miss. She further improved on Saturday night. She looked like a bloody boxer. Very, very good boxing. Casey O'Neill, very tough. She was in the fight the whole time. Certainly landed some shots. Certainly made it competitive, but she didn't have a plan B. Now, Casey O'Neill, as I even said on commentary, was kind of like a zombie, just walking forward through shots all the time. You got to have a plan B. You got to have a backup plan. You know, if that isn't working, which it clearly wasn't, she continued to press the action and was getting countered, was getting clipped, was getting caught. You've got to have a better approach. And one of the things that I suggested potentially was that maybe stop hunting her down. Stop going forward. You don't have to. When you're in the fight, yes, you might think, I've got to go forward. I've got to be tough. I've got to be the aggressor. I'm going to get in her face. And even though I'm going to get caught, I'm not going to be deterred. I'm going to keep walking down. I'm going to wear it as a badge of honor. I'll go out on my shield. I will continue to press forward. You don't have to do that. Sometimes you can stand your ground. Sometimes you can let them come at you. You know, maybe you catch them. Maybe if you make them go first, maybe you'll have a better chance of countering them. Maybe if she's walking forward, then you can meet her halfway and shoot him with a double leg takedown, whatever the case may be. But it's an experience thing. She's still young in her career, and I thought Jennifer was great.
Yeah, and I had a like thing we were watching. Brian and I noticed this while watching the fights on Saturday. Like it seemed like the judges seemed to favor whoever was standing back and countering, right? Like we saw it in the Vettori fight. Dalidze was leading with pressure the whole time. Vettori being very smart with the counters, they rewarded that. We saw it a number of times on the card. If you're watching that in the back, has that ever changed like the way your approach heading into a fight, given how the judges were favoring certain things?
Yeah, I don't think so. But in all honesty, I don't think I can remember having that thought backstage. You know what I mean? So the answer is no. But as I say, I've never encountered having that kind of mindset beforehand. But moving on, Jack Shore looked good. Jack Shore looked bloody phenomenal, in fact. Tough first round. Got taken down cleanly from Makwan. Makwan's a great high-level wrestler. Took him down, controlled him for the rest of the round. And listen, that's the way it goes. No shame in that. I thought defensively he was very good. You know, re-guarded multiple times, didn't really take any damage. Makwan clearly won round one. Round two went out there, changed it up, became a bloody beautiful boxer, looked absolutely bloody sensational, beat him up pretty good, and then got the finish, rear naked choke in round two.
Yeah, and it was, if I'm not mistaken, Jack Shore's debut at featherweight with the promotion. So dealing with the larger fighter there, I was kind of concerned coming out of that first round.
And I've got to say, he looked kind of soft at the weigh-ins. I don't know if you saw him, because he talked about going up to 145 because the cuts at 135 were killing him. And he largely said that was part of the reason, not taking away from Ricky Simone, but why Ricky Simone got the victory over him, just because he was weaker, you know, and I understood it. But he said, I didn't just want to come back at 145 and look like a blown-up bantamweight. But, you know, it's not a bodybuilding contest. But he did look, when he walked out of the weigh-ins, I was like, he looks a little soft. But hey, he didn't fight soft. We've got to talk about this. Yanal Ashmoz is a name you haven't heard. And Sam Patterson is a name you haven't heard. Both making their UFC debut. Yanal representing Israel. Sam Patterson from Watford, near London in the UK. I mean, so Sam Patterson is very tall, 6'3" for the lightweight division. Yanal Ashmoz is smaller, but he's built, he's powerful. And he waited and waited and waited. Caught a kick, threw a right hand, which missed. And then as he was going back, as Sam Patterson was falling down because he was off balance on one leg, let go of the leg, He was holding his leg with his left hand, let go of that, and then boom, clipped him with a really hard left hook. I mean, that shows the speed and the ferocity of that guy, Yanal Ashmuz. Keep an eye on that name. Got on top, and then the ground and pound seemingly went on for a little bit longer than what it needed to. Now, Mark Goddard is the gold standard when it comes to refereeing. But a lot of people online, a lot of people in person weren't happy with that stoppage. What was the vibe amongst you lot when you were watching, Harrington?
Yeah, certainly that it could have been ended just off that first shot, right? That shot against the cage, it seemed like he was out going down, and that extra ground and pound that he took was just like, it almost like woke him up and then put him back to sleep. Mark was not in the best position for that. Like, he couldn't necessarily see his eyes. And I understand wanting to you know, err towards the side of caution. You don't want to get a guy out of there who still has faculties about him. So,
hey, Brian, just see if you can find the video. Not that I'm going to laugh at it or anything like that, but it's just kind of shocking. The video where he's continuing to try and fight the referee or whatever, because he's just, his brain so scrambled. Took a lot of shots, eventually went to sleep. I think he might have came back round and went to sleep again. And, you know, he's a young man. And, you know, people talk about, and there was a lot of talk of Leon Edwards and Kamaru Usman, talk about how you can't come back from a knockout like that. But that's okay. When Kamaru Usman has defended the belt 5 times and he's been there many times and he's fought in the UFC many times, you can come back from that. It's hard to come back from a UFC event or from a fight or a defeat when it's your UFC debut. You've never experienced... Well, let's just take a look at this if we can. No, never mind then.
I'll pull up a better one. Give me 1 second.
Yeah, no worries, mate. It's hard to come back from that when it's your UFC debut and that happens, because now what's in your mind is that's what can happen in the UFC. If you've been there many times and you've passed that test and you've won fights and you're all good, you know, then it's all right. It's all right. I got caught on this occasion, but I've been in there 4, 5, 6 times and that's never happened. This young man now has that skeleton in his closet. He has that psychological damage that stepping into an octagon against someone in the UFC, that this can be the kind of outcome. I mean, I'm not sure what's going on. He's not trying to fight Mark Goddard, but he was like, he wasn't cooperating. He wouldn't sit down. He's kind of, he was just, his brain was scrambled. He's all over the place. And, you know, I'm not shitting on Mark Goddard, by the way. I'm just expressing my sympathy for what happened. I'd never like to see a fighter, a human being, have their brain so scrambled that they're behaving like that.
Yeah, that was pretty tough to watch. And I did genuinely forget about it until you remind me. He was grabbing for legs there and going for hooks. That's tough.
Yeah. All right. So we just got to give a quick shout out. Christopher Leroy Duncan, Dusko Todorovic. That was a shame that the way that one ended. But well done, I guess. Lerone Murphy got the job done against Gabriel Santos. Gabriel Santos, keep an eye on that name, because Lerone Murphy is the man. Gabriel Santos gave him a really good fight, lost by split decision. Ludovic Klein, Jai Herbert, draw. Great fight. Shame it ended in a draw. Veronica Macedo Hardy, Dan Hardy's new wife, his wife, not new wife. He hasn't had a string of wives, his wife. Recently married is what I meant. She got the job done against Juliana Miller. Joanne Wood defeated Luana Carolina. And there you go. Chris Duncan, Omar Morales, of course.
One more. The performance of the night bonus for Jake Hadley against Malcolm Gordon.
Yeah. Malcolm Gordon. Listen to this. Listen to this. This is a good way to end before we do the last. In fact, we'll save questions for Wednesday or Thursday whenever we do it, because Anthony can do them. And a lot of the time, they are for me and Anthony. No offense, Harrington.
Who wants my advice?
Well, a lot of people. Listen to this. Malcolm Gordon lost via body shots. 2 body shots. The first one crumpled him, but he got up. The second one, that was it. The show was over. Malcolm Gordon missed weight. Came in 3.5 pounds overweight. Day of the fight, I think I was going for a run. I got in the lift, elevator, and there's Malcolm Gordon. And he starts telling me, I said, how are you doing? You know, because anytime I bump into a fighter, I want to quickly pick their brains for a couple of minutes on the fight for commentary. You know, how was your training camp? What did you do? Anything new? Whatever. How's everything? And he said, a couple of weeks ago, I had a kidney infection. He said, and I was pissing out pieces of my kidney. I said, hold on, whoa. what are you talking about? He said, yeah, as I was pissing, there was little tiny pieces of flesh coming out. So I was like, what was that? And I took it to a doctor and he's like, that is the pieces of your kidney, which you are pissing out. So he went on some medication or something like that. As I say, it was a very quick conversation, but I couldn't believe it. Then when I remembered that he missed weight, I'm like, oh, was he trying to give an excuse for why he missed weight? Well, clearly not, because the night before they cut off his weight cut at 8 p.m. the night before. Right? So that's very, very early. So he had a long time to rehydrate, but you could clearly see when Jake Hadley touched him in the body, you could see that the liver, the kidney, whatever it was severely compromised.
Yeah. And I mean, you know, great. I mean, it's still great performance by Jake Hadley, but man, how tough is Malcolm Gordon? You're pissing out part of your kidney 2 weeks ago and you're still willing to get in the octagon? That's pretty tough.
Well, that's what you got to do. You do all that training. You want to get that paycheck. You want to get that win. And I'm going to get out of here. Thank you all for watching. Subscribe and ring the bell, please, if you haven't done so. We're going to be back with another show this week. We're going to get some guests on the next one as well. After this week as well, I'm so happy to say this. I will be going nowhere for about at least a month, I think. So I'll be home for a bit. So we'll start getting all the guests on. Let us know on the Twitter or in the channel, the comment section. Some guest requests that you'd like to have on. And until then, be well, Brian, Harrington, Anthony, and you guys. Take care. See you soon.